Hi, it's devout Catholic Mark Wahlberg. It's my pleasure to tell you that Hey Fam is proudly brought to you by the good folks at the Hallow app. Got a favorite psalm or want to say a prayer for the family of the Vietnamese veteran you violently blinded? Then the Hallow app is for you. For just $77 American a month, you can get connected with fellow-minded blessed folk and practice what you preach online. Who knows, maybe I'll see you on there. Stay prayed up.
Hey, America, this is your president, Sleepy Joe Biden, just letting you know that I'm taking it back to 2003 in the White House tonight. That's right, me and Hunter are playing seminal record Ella Funk by the Black Eyed Peas, Loud, Proud, and in Full, and you better believe that my girl Fergie is saying the R-word 50 times on track 3, just as our founding fathers wanted her to. God bless this goddamn beautiful country.
It's been a long time
without you, my friend.
And I'll see, tell you all about it when I see you
again. I thought you were going to do like a rhyme.
A rhyme. I was like, there's too much to talk about to actually think about something clever to say at the intro.
Yeah.
We saw
a long time about you, my fam.
I'll tell you
all about it.
Whoa, Black Betty Bambalam.
Yeah, that's not. that's sick. That's the one.
Nailed it.
Punch it.
Yeah. So we got a crazy episode today because two things that we've been looking forward to for a long time dropped in the last week. One of them far exceeded our expectations.
Yep.
And the other one
is a low point in the canonical series.
Dude, it has me questioning my love of the franchise full stop.
Mm. I'll talk you back.
Okay, thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Funnily enough, I feel like the thing that we absolutely love is going to be more difficult to talk. Or maybe we want to talk about it less than we do want to go into. We're talking about Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and Fast X.
Fast 10.
Fast 10. It's Fast X.
It's 10. It's a Roman numeral.
It's the letter X.
It's a number. It was a number before a numeral.
The character Romans numerals. Mm-hmm. The Fast and the Furious character Roman.
Yeah. Numerals. It's Pierce numerals.
Man, we're going to Rome.
Roman in Rome. That was like a high point, just that sentence for me.
Oh, because it was very early on in the piece too.
Let's not talk about it. Yeah. We're going to save it.
But let's get into Tears of the Kingdom.
Like when you left last week, it came out like an hour later.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like the podcast had
actually
been
the
around.
Reviews came out 5 minutes after you left.
Yeah, it's true, and it was just tens. Everyone giving it tens, except for a few,
except some heroes, except for some like
six out of ten, and it's just like, come on.
I kind of like respect that a lot. They're just like, it's gonna win every game award at the Jeff Keighley show. Like
the Jeff Awards.
Fuck it,
yeah.
I'm gonna drop a six so at least people are talking about me.
No, like, so at least at least I can get the clicks.
Yeah, you fit into the sea of tens, you know.
Yeah.
No one's reading those articles. They're reading the six.
So yeah, it got X out of ten. X out of X.
Don't do it, dude.
I would give it that after spending a week in this game, it just
one John Wick.
I would probably say before this, Breath of the Wild was my favorite game of all time. Like a tie between that, Mario Galaxy that, 2 and Hollow Knight.
Minecraft.
And the Avengers game.
And Steve's Minecraft. The Steve DLC in Smash.
Yeah. Steve, just playing as Steve in Super Smash Brothers.
Love that character is called Steve.
And then there's a chick too, right?
What's her name?
Eve. Sheev. I don't know. Yeah. But you can get the chick amiibo.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We're big.
You could.
Big Steve heads.
Yeah, you could do that or you couldn't.
That's a classic like sitcom. Like how about we don't do that?
Yeah, that was I felt like a Chandler.
Yeah. Or you could not do that.
Yeah, have you ever thought about not doing that?
Yeah, that's great.
I like that. That's so cool.
Yeah, we all play Steve in Super Smash Brothers. Said except, no one yeah, ever.
On opposite day. Yeah, I main Steve on Smash Brothers. Well, I'm not getting fucked by you. I don't know.
My favorite piece of Minecraft content is Sakurai talking about Minecraft when he did the reveal.
The Smash
like
reveal.
Of all of Steve's moves and stuff like that.
Yeah. Not even like that autistic guy that made Minecraft could talk about Steve for that long.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy. It's crazy that's like Microsoft's number one platform now. Like way bigger than like Windows, way bigger than Xbox, Game Pass, Microsoft Teams, the Office Suite, Minecraft is like, it's on everything. It's on every phone. It's on every tablet, regardless of
brand.
Yeah,
totally.
It's on every console. Like, you can't crank Word on, you know, the Switch. You can crank Alarm Clock, whatever, for $35.
It's also like one of the main like gateways into reading for kids. Like
reading, the building. Shitty Minecraft novels. My mom.
Yeah, your mom has like that bookshelf is fully stocked with Minecraft junior novels.
But the they teach classes in Minecraft, like about building. They're like, all right, here's the Harbor Bridge. How do you think people built it? Like they have all this like spatial.
Well, I think when you're that age and that kind of
it's Lego.
Kid, exactly. Like you like the other day, Archie called mom be into the room and was like, "Mom, I really want to ask you a question in the morning, but I can't stop thinking about it. So can I ask you now?" And it was like 10 o'clock. On a school night, we're like, "Archie, what is it? Just say it so it's off your mind." He goes, "Can I get Roblox?"
That's awesome. Did you send him? Oh, he's already in his room.
Yeah.
Walk out and then walk back in your room.
But I like that.
Why
like,
Roblox? That's because that's where kids are hanging, right?
All kids play, like, all kids know is Roblox, Minecraft.
And what was that dumb dragon game you used to play?
Oh, Merge Dragons?
Yeah.
No, I think he was the only kid playing that. I guess, like, yeah, weird. Weird iPhone games. But I like that he's of all the like creation games, he's latched onto Mario Maker.
Yeah, him and that YouTuber we love.
Yeah, whose voice I hear blasting from my son's room.
It's really funny because I'll be playing Tears of the Kingdom. And it's been really fun just seeing like 20 plus people online at all times playing. And then there's you and it just says Super Mario Maker.
Fucking Archie.
And I'm like, I know who that is.
Because like, I'll be playing Tears of the Kingdom too. And I'll be like, oh, hell yeah. Literally everyone is playing Mario Maker. Sorry, everyone's playing Tears of the Kingdom. But whenever someone popped up saying playing Mario Kart 8. And I was like, what a loser. Just,
some guy's been popping up every day just playing Cult of the Lamb. like a good game.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But I'm just like. Again, that's like the six. I'm just like, good for you. Like, I'm just like.
Whenever I think of like the getting notifications of people playing things. I remember when we first started Hey Fam, like, and this is the point I was getting at earlier, like Breath of the Wild coming out and the Switch coming out pretty early on. We hadn't even been around as a podcast for like a year, I feel like, when the Switch came out.
We started like 2015. And I think 2015? The Switch came out
2017. March 2017. Well, it was pretty early on in the piece.
Yeah.
And hadn't made. Like, wasn't well known that most of our listeners were psychopaths. So
yeah, we just have everyone. Man, I have so many people.
So yeah, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll add everyone that listens to our podcast on Switch. And I remember there was one guy and we clicked on his profile once and it said that he had over 1,000 hours
on YouTube.
Yeah, that's YouTube awesome. App. That's hectic.
Yeah, that's sick. Again, like the six, like the Cult of the Lamb. I'm like, that's right. Buy a portable gaming device.
But that was like,
to just watch YouTube.
That was
on
like
it.
6 years ago now. He must have like
10,000
hours on the YouTube.
Yeah,
app.
I have nothing but respect. Buying a Switch to watch YouTube on.
Yeah.
I hope they don't have premium either. I hope it's just straight up ads.
Yeah.
I've never seen the YouTube app on Switch.
Yeah, I don't know if I have it.
Well, I don't. Again, much like Minecraft, I've got it everywhere. Kitty's staring.
Yeah, Kat is just
so
staring at the microphone. She's like, when's my turn? Put me on. Just looking at the microphone intently. Give it a sniff.
She had nothing to say. Yeah. Like most, they Classic freeze up. Kitty. They all want it.
Yep.
And then as soon as you put it in their hand, they freeze up.
We do occasionally get reviews from your cat's perspective of video games Sleeping. That you play.
I know she really likes
Stray.
She's been liking Tears of the Kingdom. She's been running up and I've took some photos of her just like trying to like touch the screen. I think it's the colors and this game has like such a striking like bright thing. So she's like always looking when things are moving around.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, she's into it.
That's great.
Gets the
cool.
Two paws up.
10 out of 10 from Kitty. So,
he loves it. Can make guns in it. Alec Baldwin is a big fan of Tears of the Kingdom.
Angus just swipes right on his phone in the photos and it went from a photo of Kitty to a screenshot of Alec Baldwin who'd freshly put a photo of him up after freshly shaving his beard off.
And I sent it to you yesterday.
Why isn't every single comment on his thing just like, you killed a woman. You shot a woman in the head.
No, the best bit. So he's finished filming the movie Rust, the film in which he killed somebody during the making up, and he just wrote, "God, it felt good to shave off that beard." Ellipsis.
Oh my god! Literally about the fucking movie. Right.
Yeah, and that's why I sent it to you. And I wrote, "God, it felt so good," and then edit it to say, "Shoot that woman."
How come it only has 350 likes? Or
I was on at the time he posted it.
Yeah, right.
And because I have spent hours going through Alec Baldwin's Insta. It's as soon as he posts, I'm like, it's the top of my feed.
Alec Baldwin,
he's insane, man. Huge fan.
How did he get away with fucking killing a woman in cold blood?
Tell me, please. No, I'd never want to do that.
But yeah, man, Tears of the Kingdom, like last week you spoke about your fear of them, you know, not nailing it.
Yeah, I mean, God, like you said, that game is like my favorite game of all time. It's like, you know, it's not the first game to do it like that, but it's the first game a lot of people did it like that. And it's definitely like the first party game to do it like that. Well, especially in the lineage of Zelda, where up until, you know, that point, there were extremely scripted linear affairs. And yeah, you could like, there's the illusion of open world, but you're always going to like walled areas. And,
yeah, totally.
You know, that Breath of the Wild just changed everything.
Well, actually, it came after Skyward Sword, which that was like just far too hand-holdy. I didn't even, I found Twilight Princess too slow, like long in the tooth to get into. And like,
Twilight Princess is way too long.
Really, really long gated. Game. And yeah. Like, yeah.
The last one that I truly loved was the like mainline console, not handheld, Wind Waker. Was Wind Waker.
Love Wind Waker. But then handheld, Link Between Worlds. That was fantastic. And they gave you a lot of openness in that one where you could rent every.
Well, it was the first time to really fuck with a particular formula. And that was the renting system. Yeah, and that rent was every like, item. Little did we know
go to any dungeon you wanted at the beginning. Like,
and little did we know that, like, that game, which had firmly had one foot in the past, being a sequel to Link to the Past, was like a little look towards the future in the sense that, like, you could go anywhere you wanted to first, and also kind of the idea that the weapons weren't forever. Like, these were things that you had to take back.
Yeah, if you died with a rented weapon, you had to go and rent it again.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, who knew at the time that that was, like, a real good early insight into what Breath of the Wild would do.
Yeah, and I just remember, like, when Breath of the Wild came out, how exciting it was just to everyone that we knew was playing it. No one was having the same adventure.
I've been thinking about it a lot. And the last time I can really, really think about this was Animal Crossing and then Breath of the Wild. And they're just these, and the two things about those games is, unlike a AAA game that's extremely on rails, like a God of War or like any of the Sony productions, those games are so on track that everybody virtually has the same experience. There's very, very small window of you and I defeating a boss slightly differently. You know what I mean? Like, you might use a different move set. I might use a different, like, tactic, but it's still very much the same. But Animal Crossing, while it's so different to Breath of the Wild, it is completely custom. Like, your experience is very different to mine. Same with Breath of the Wild. And that's kind of what's so exciting about it, because it's not this hushed like, oh, where are you up to, I don't want to tell you too much. It's just like, oh man, I built this, I did this, you know. It's really different experience, which we don't get a lot with games.
I had it with a few of my friends when we were all playing Hollow Knight at the same time.
Yes,
that ruled too. But yeah, again, that was very much a kind of, have you gotten up to this part yet?
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
like, you can talk very openly about Tears of the Kingdom without worrying about spoiling, like, you know, there's obvious story.
A friend of mine was like,
it's
leaked early, it's gonna get spoiled. And I'm like, you can't spoil if it's like Breath of the Wild. You
can't spoil a feeling.
But like, it's not about the plot for those games. Like, you could spoil, sure, some like
you
physics.
Wouldn't spoil a feeling.
Like, you could spoil some of the mechanics or something. But even then, like, you're still not being spoiled.
What I find the most remarable about this game is that, I don't know.
What, Breath or Tears?
About Tears. Like, you know, post Breath of the Wild, is that like, yeah, Breath of the Wild was fucking amazing.
Oh, sorry, let's say Elden Ring was the last game as well before.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the last time
I thought, you know, I reckon if I got that again on PlayStation instead of playing the Xbox one that I got a code for, I would have stuck it out with that way longer, but I just didn't.
Yeah, dude, it's incredible.
Yeah, I know, it's totally incredible. But there are
very similar to Tears too with the underground section.
Yeah, but the thing is, with Zelda, I'm never like, yeah, I know that there could be a monster around the corner, but I know that there's so much shit I can do that isn't reliant on just fighting all the time.
Mm.
Whereas, like, Elden Ring is far more, I feel like combat is still the number one focus of it, as opposed to, like, exploration.
Yeah, there's no puzzles.
Yeah, yeah.
Per se. There are some puzzles, but they are, like, very few and far between. It is literally, like, scaling up. And it's far more RPG.
And it doesn't have the, the, like, the real part for my spectrum, the spectrum part of my brain, where it's, like, for me, like, the most thrilling part of both of these Zelda games is the fact that there's towers and you unlock the map. Is that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You unlock the map, but you also find fireplaces that you can then warp to.
That's right. So, yeah.
Dude,
I'll go back to it one day. And I'll be
like, yeah, the one thing that it reminds me of from Elden Ring a lot is the verticality.
Yeah.
Where there are like
sky islands,
that's the depths. Elden Ring, there's like almost the same size map as the world in that game, underground. Mm. In the dark. It looks very similar to.
Yeah, so this is, I guess, the closest thing to an actual spoiler. I guess something that I didn't know about the game until reviews is that there's an underground section.
That seems to be something that they kept from that playthrough that they did like a month ago where they let people play around. And they didn't show it in that last trailer where we learned about Ultra Hand and Merge and so all of that stuff.
Yeah, and like I feel like the craziest thing about this game is it's so fucking big that you could be playing this for 30 hours before
never go through
and
that.
You're going like, oh, I don't like, you know, maybe you walk near one of the holes where the depths are
scary.
And it burns you. I'm like, well, fuck that, I'm not going near that again.
Yeah, you can play, I think like, you can definitely play the entire game without ever going to the depths.
It's hectic, there's so much cool shit down there. It's like this game, you just go, I'm gonna go get lost here for a while.
That's what I've had to start doing, because even though it's only one, I defeated like the first boss, and then I was like, I don't want to have like two more than one more. I'm just going to explore now. So for the last 5 days, I've just been filling out the map, getting shrines, doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fun as hell. I mean,
how many hearts you got?
I've got heaps of stamina. I focus on that first.
Right.
Hearts, I've got maybe 8.
Cool. Okay.
And close to like, I've been going like two for one.
Sure.
But I found that demon thing where you can.
Oh, I don't know about a demon. Okay. Because it's a demon thing, everybody.
Well, you can now pay a fee.
To swap them around?
Well, you go like, oh, can I have one vessel back? And then you do this.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's again, that's like reminded me a lot of Elden Ring when you can like respec.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
so you can actually, even though it's not stats per se, that really affect your gameplay, you can totally respec your health and stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah. The I've been...
It's like a statue. It's a demon statue.
Because of the way I play the game, like I just explore. I don't I don't really have anything in mind except the tower. So my biggest thing is I want to unlock the map first and foremost.
I think I've got two areas to go.
Well, I just unlocked the last one today. Mm. The last one, which is in like the Gerudo part.
Oh, I haven't gone to the desert yet.
So annoying to get to it, but I'm glad I finally did it. Just because it's like alternates between too hot and too cold.
Yeah, no, you've got to have the two sets of
and costumes. Because I haven't implicitly gone out and like gotten.
Why did you do that?
What do you mean? Like,
that's so funny. I love that. There's no wrong way to play it, but yeah, I love that. Like,
I love brute forcing my way to towers. I'll be like, okay, shit, I've got to like cook up a meal with like all of the the hot peppers now, so I can survive in the cold for longer.
That's so funny. I got like the cold suit really early on.
But you have to pay. It was like 3,000 rupees, and by the time I found the shop, it was 1,000 for the pants.
Yeah, 700 rupees.
I had like 30.
Oh, I spent a lot of time underground. Like, okay, just getting opals.
Well, I've done that since, and so now I've gone back and I've bought the cold stuff, but now I need the hot stuff.
Those reviews came out when you left, and I was like, okay, this is exactly what I wanted. This is, I feel good, because I was quite nervous about it, because I was like, not like Nintendo need a win. The Switch has sold like close to 130 million things, but I think. In the last few years, Nintendo, and we've said this several times, they've been on a bit of like lazy mode where...
Yeah, I mean, they haven't.
But I mean, like, it's a common perception that...
Yes.
You know, a lot of it's tall poppy, but sometimes Nintendo do their best work when they're under pressure. Sometimes they do their worst work when they're lazy, a la the Wii U with...
Yeah, and I think like they definitely have a lot of teams that I wish had the same... drive and ethics as the Zelda team, but I don't know if they can afford to.
No, because
I mean, Nintendo certainly can afford to. Like, I wish all games were QA'd out the ass as heavy as Zelda has been.
Mm. It's so refreshing to play a game that's day and day release with no patch and it's finished.
Well, there was a day one patch.
Oh, but
that was just for all it was frame rate online, stability.
So,
I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mine downloaded, so I didn't know. I must have come with that patch. It's so refreshing, but. I know they wouldn't do it with Zelda, but they have. They've done it with Skyward Sword. They've done it with other titles. So
remember that three swords
I never played that.
No, not Four Swords Adventures.
Four Swords. It was
Triforce Heroes.
Yeah.
Four Swords Adventures rules. Triforce Heroes is the shitty 3DS one where you have to play with like
three
connected 3DSs. And then you could do it online, but you have no way of communicating.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And above all, it's really boring.
And you can see that's them being like in a classic Nintendo way. You can kind of see the moves. They're like, okay, mobile games are really big right now. What can we do? Okay, we'll make people buy a $300 system and a $100 game and then play with randoms online and like lock them from talking to somebody. Like that's exactly what they're thinking. Oh, and they have to play it at home near the internet, not on a phone like somebody
would. Or you can connect, you can play it. I mean, all they want you to do is play it with three people who own the game on 3DS. It was 100%. Just like so complicated.
No one's doing that. Yeah. But I digress. Yeah, I was nervous just because of the monumental landmark that Breath of the Wild is. Like, it's bigger than any Zelda game before it up until now. It was like critically acclaimed. Like, yeah, there were detractors. There were a lot of people who were like, I miss the old Zelda. But like I say, when movies or bands change, they're still there. Like,
yeah, exactly.
While video games, it's a lot harder to say, just go back and play them because of how stupid.
Angus's TV is doing a screensaver right now of like islands in like surrounded by mountains and water. And I'm like,
it's very Breath of the Wild.
Feels very, this is the kingdom, brother.
This is what the Switch Pro will look like in 10 years.
20 years.
Yeah, in 20 years when they finally go 4K.
I love the caveats that people are like fucking stepping through to compliment this game. Like, yes, it still looks like a game from 2008, but you know, the art style is like, you know, like, just it's like fucking, it's good, dude.
It looks like shit, and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's a charm to it, but it's not about that. Like, some of the best games of all time, like, you know, Super Mario Brothers 3, I would still say is one of the best games. That runs at like 10 frames a second.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
you don't notice after like a minute.
The weird like broification of frame rates has been really funny.
So lame.
Where just people like will say like, oh, I won't play that if it's not in 120. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, films are 25 frames. Like, you're not really that aware of it. You're aware of it because it's become part of a conversation that
Totally.
Is now a metric that boneheads use, you know, like,
I mean, I,
some of the best
I,
games you can are 12 frames.
You can notice it in like fighting games, sure. Like, obviously, you want it to be as fluid as possible, but an adventure game,
I've
like,
not
like
noticed
this is like,
like Zelda.
What is Zelda? Is Zelda 30 or 60? 30, yeah, right. Cool.
You know, because of its art style, it's really, lends itself to that kind of jilted whatever. But that's not about that. But no, I was kind of worried because I, you know, Breath of the Wild was just so big. While I do trust Nintendo a lot of the time, they make some outrageous decisions.
Yeah, totally.
And I was, a part of me was like, I know that era seems to have gone, but I don't know. To me, they're two big heavy hitters, Zelda and Mario. Everything else under them is like, that's like their two big franchises, you know?
Yeah, they're number one and number two. Like, it's like the, it's the
Metroid's kind of
the sales darling
to like
and the critical
third party,
darling.
You know what I mean? Or a second party to make.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But Nintendo always keeps Mario and Zelda in house. It's kind of like the truest.
Well, no, I mean, Capcom made three Zelda games.
No, but I mean, outside. I mean, and they were like handheld. Like, I mean, mainline
Zelda.
The
mainline joints,
but like,
yeah.
Like, you know, Nintendo let, who made the Mario and Luigi RPGs?
Oh, that's a full-on spin-off, but yeah.
No, but yeah, but so are they. They're not like mainline Zelda.
Something Dreams or something.
They're done
now anyway. They're folded. RIP.
See ya. But yeah, you know, they're like they're the ones that they cook.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, besides Mario and like Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, I got to say like Nintendo's first party output has been pretty hit and miss for me on the Switch.
Right.
Arms.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's absolutely some misses,
like,
for sure.
One, two, but I'm just thinking, like, and
That's first year though. I feel like
no,
the last
I'm just thinking like there's
like
not that many like first party Nintendo games. I don't mean like Kirby, because that's not first party. That's,
sure, yeah.
That's how laboratories.
Yeah,
I just mean like there hasn't been a crazy amount of first party Nintendo games that aren't Wii U remasters.
Yeah,
weird, limited timed Mario 3D collections, or yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Wii U remasters. Like, what has there been besides Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey,
The Splatoon games,
Splatoon 2 and 3, yeah, which are great at what they are, where they don't understand internet.
Yeah, totally.
So there's no way to play online.
Archie's best mate at school has put like 400 hours into Splatoon 3, and is like,
awesome.
He's like ranked, like he plays only ranked matches and just destroys people.
That's really cool.
It's so crazy.
I love that for him.
But yeah, they have to like wire the Switch so he gets the best connection.
Yeah, and that's
like,
tight. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, and Archie's like, can we play Mario? No.
But yeah, I don't know. That's why I was a little worried, just because I'm like, ah, oh, they're doing so well at the moment. They're getting a little lazy.
The Fire Emblem games.
Not first party.
Yeah, that's first party.
No, it's another company makes it within Nintendo.
No, it's absolutely first party. It's the same team that make like WarioWare.
Oh, maybe for some reason I thought Fire Emblem was made by someone else.
You're thinking of
It's Intelligent Systems, and it's made by the Intelligent Systems, published by Nintendo. That's
Intelligent Systems.
That's second party.
But they own it. Nintendo own Intelligent Systems.
Yeah, second party. That's like a second party game.
I wouldn't count Intelligent Systems as that's first party to me.
Intelligent Systems is a Japanese video game company. That's not first party, dude. First party is Nintendo by Nintendo, which is like Zelda and Mario. Now.
All right. There's nothing. Yeah, okay. I'm thinking of the other thing. They have a first party. The guys that do the WarioWare games.
No, they make this too. Fire Emblem.
No, it's the Wario platformer games. Hold on, I'll figure it out. This is destroying my head. What the name?
We're getting so autistic right now. Yeah, I mean, first party is Nintendo.
It's Nintendo EAD. Is it? I need to solve this or my brain is going to be breaking. Yeah, Nintendo EAD.
Go on.
Yeah, there we go. So they used to be known as Nintendo Research and Development Number 4 Department.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, they're a division of Nintendo. That's what I was getting confused with. It's the Iwata's division.
Yeah, that's within Nintendo. Yeah, that's different to a developer.
Yep. Fuck it now.
What are we talking about?
But yeah, you're right. Like, you know, the last thing that group did was Mario Maker. Oh no, they've folded, so they don't even exist anymore. Wow, Nintendo history is crazy.
So literally, they literally just make Mario games, New Super Mario games, and Zelda at the moment.
Well, I mean, that's the Nintendo store.
That's all there is.
It's right? It's like Mario, Zelda, Animal Splatoon, Crossing. Animal Crossing, obviously.
Animal Crossing's the other one I meant.
And then Pikmin. They're going really hard for Pikmin.
But yeah, because Miyamoto's still alive.
That motherfucker's out in the garden. It was so that weird. That
dude's knees are dirty and it's not from sucking dick.
I did a like a video about like, can I buy something from every Nintendo franchise at the Nintendo shop?
Mm.
And only was obviously limited by what they sold. And everyone's like, oh, there's no Xenoblade. There's no Fire Emblem. And then
they're
one
third parties.
And then one guy was like, where's Donkey Kong? And I was like, yeah, fucking hell. Where the fuck's Donkey Kong?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess...
Do something with that big ape.
Is Donkey Kong even big in Japan?
Yeah, I mean, that last one sold well enough for them to re-release it again.
I mean, I bought it in Japan.
Yeah, I love
it. But I mean, like, he seems to me like a character that's really found success in the West with, like, Rare taking over in the 90s. And I know those games weren't as big in Japan as they were in the Western world. I don't know if Donkey Kong is as big as we think he is in Japan.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know, but
I think that was like definitely made to target Western audiences originally, and then they palmed it off to second party developers for years. And I think to them, it's not a priority.
Damn,
bring him back. Sucks because Donkey Kong rules. The lore is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I hate that. I don't know. I guess he gets off the best in the movie. Donkey Kong probably has the best of all of the depictions.
Yep. I like Donkey Kong in the movie.
Yeah.
Compared to anybody.
Donkey Kong and Luigi are like the only ones I really liked.
Yeah. And Luigi, what works in his favor is he's not in the movie.
That's true. So
his depiction is pretty inoffensive, but everyone else is dog shit.
But I know what you mean about the fear of Nintendo fucking up something.
Well, they just do it. I mean, because we wanted Metroid for years and then they released Federation Force, that soccer game. And it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I know that like they probably wouldn't do something like that again. I mean, yep. Because, you know, again, they're one of the only other big Nintendo, though it's not, you know, they made it with Retro, is the re-release of Metroid Prime.
Yeah, well, and then Metroid Dread a couple of years ago too. But again, that was a European developer. And like
Spanish developer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's so weird that like...
Well, I guess this is what Nintendo's been doing.
But like they made Super Metroid. Like a Japanese development team made Super Metroid. It's weird that
they don't make them anymore. They've seriously stripped back to just Mario and Zelda, which is what I've been thinking about recently. And Animal Crossing.
It's so weird. Like, yeah, Metroidvania is like one of the most beloved, like, you know, niche titles that doesn't need necessarily a big budget to make a good one. And
just needs imagination.
And it's named the hybrid of the two, the portmanteau is two.
Konami and...
Castlevania and Metroid. Yeah. And no Japan teams make either game anymore.
No, they have no interest. They're
so weird.
They're into like pachinko or...
At least the guy who made Castlevania still makes Metroidvania games.
Bloodstained?
Iga, whatever his name is. Iga. Igarashi, is that his name? Bloodstained.
Yeah. But that's why I was scared. Track record isn't tens.
Yeah, and again, and they're a very unpredictable company. When they hit, they hit. I do think that of the big three, they've had the best track record of the last decade.
I think so too. I think like, I'll say that in 3 years when it's been 10 years since the Wii U hasn't been selling games.
Yeah, that's true. Goddamn. Since the Switch, they've had a great run.
Yeah, like, I think so.
Comparatively great run.
I will call it a relaxing run.
And that's why I'm like, everyone's so eager for the Switch, for the next thing, whatever the next thing is. I'm like, no, because whenever they do the next thing after a successful thing, they fuck it up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The Wii U, like, they fucked up because they're just like, oh, look, here's the worst things about the Wii. Let's focus on those and not do anything else. Oh, we'll throw in HD. Remember, it was like HD 10 years late. I can't say they've had the best run in the last 10 years. Without serious assessment, just because of the entire Wii U fumbling.
They've definitely beat Microsoft in the last
Microsoft will be the first to admit that.
It's between them and PlayStation.
I think Microsoft just were like, we can buy... Like, it's that classic talent, that classic tale of we can buy talent. You know what I mean?
It's so
like,
gross.
Yeah. It's real It's real Waystar Royco energy.
Yeah, totally.
You're just like, yo, I want that, I'll buy it. And dude, it's just
fucking insane that like... I love Tears of the Kingdom so much that I was like, ugh, I can't believe I have to stop playing to watch my like one of the final episodes of my favorite TV shows of all time.
I was
time.
Like, oh, fuck, I just got home from work in the office and I was like, got to watch Succession. And then I was like, thank fuck I watched it because it was one of the best episodes ever.
Like,
it's insane that this season has had like so many tier episodes, like S ranks.
Yeah, yeah.
That episode was a masterclass. It was like insane. Should be taught in schools. Like, this is what happens with... No, it should be taught in like... Like when you're learning about politics and media as like a school student in high school, you know what I mean?
It's like,
here's literally what happens. Do you listen to I don't listen to many podcasts as I tell you. Do you listen to the HBO Succession podcast?
Should I?
Yeah. So each episode they'll put it out after, this week's was Jesse Armstrong. But then they also have like the political guys they hire to make sure that what they do or the media guys is on like brand. Like they'll be like, hey, in this scene, Tom's walking into a room to fire people. Would they have food? What app would they be using? So they have like guys who are experts in like that economy. And so they'll do like half the episode with the writer and director. So the last few have been Jesse Armstrong. And he will be like, you know, pretty forthtelling. He doesn't like, no spoilers or anything, but really good chat. But then the second half is like, they spoke to like the lawyers, for example, about like they spoke to like divorce lawyers about like Tom and Shiv's situation for one episode about like what would happen in that split. And they're like, oh yeah, I've worked with people who like they had a tech startup guy speak about the hundreds on the first episode. Wow. He's like, oh yeah, so many young people who are rich but have no vision will just like start these companies that they wonder why they don't exist. And they
rewatching that episode now with the hindsight of what's happened since.
It's insane.
Well,
I've gone back and listened. I started from the start like this week of this series.
Has it existed for every season as well?
Yeah.
Damn.
But I went back and started from the start of this season. Yeah. Podcast just to be like, because in my perfect world I wouldn't be working and I could just like
I always forget that
all 10 before the finale. I'd love to watch it, but I'm also just like, I don't have time, so this podcast has kind of been serving as a nice little recap.
I'll totally subscribe. I forget that all prestige television shows come with
all HBO ones. They actually air them on HBO Max, I think. Sometimes
is there a Barry one? I'm gonna start Barry season 4 tomorrow.
I don't know if there's a Barry one. I read that Bill Hader was appearing on the Ringers one. The Ringer do like a prestige. It's even called the prestige show. But I think he pulled out because of the writer's strike. And he's like, can we not do it this week? Because I want to stand with the writers or something.
Yeah, that's fair. Pay him. Pay those motherfuckers.
Pay them. I saw Fast 10. Please pay them.
Yeah. And like writers were apparently paid for Fast 10.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And now... a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Great deal.
All right, Zelda.
Zelda. But yeah, no, even today I was like, fuck, I've got to go watch Fast 10. Like, yeah. I can't just play Zelda all day.
Yeah,
I've done
man,
such
do you know how hard
it is
being at work?
Man, do you know how hard it is raising a family?
Yeah, no.
And I've been getting up at 5:30 every day this week to
like
work out.
Sitting in your car to play it. Just like...
No, I haven't reached. I've been having really good. I haven't. The latest I've stayed up is like 10:30.
Yeah.
That's like so good for me. Like when I think about Breath of the Wild, I was staying up to like
4 and shit.
Yeah, and then being like, fuck, I've got to be up in 3 hours to take the kids
to
daycare.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I've been
take the kids to daycare so I could sit at home alone and play Breath of the Wild.
Now you're doing it all over again with Tears of the Kingdom in school. Yeah, I've been trying to like, all right, I've got to go to bed. Like,
yeah, it's so fucking good. And like,
I love that we haven't even spoken about it. It's great.
Whatever. We're
but
just
I mean,
cooking.
Like, what
we're
are
just...
we going to say? You know what I
it's
mean?
It's water cooler shit, though. It's like, I what I love the most about it is that they thought of all the systems that I didn't use in Breath of the Wild, and they gave me a reason to use them all now.
Well, they saw what people, you know what it is? It's like that amazing, like, every time you open up YouTube, or mine especially, it's just like 30 new things you didn't know you could do in Breath of the Wild.
Yes, totally.
7 years later. And they're like, the best thing is they're watching that stuff and they're like, oh, so people built vehicles a lot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. Let's just do that. Let's just give people the ability to build vehicles. Like, it's so cool to see them just lean into the fandom, which, and it's so rare too. Like, even going bigger than the game itself, like, it's such a smart move. Like, they've saved themselves. Think about the amount of time that it takes for a Zelda team, which has been about the same amount of time between sequels as, say, almost Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild, where the thing with Zelda from, you know, Ocarina onwards, it was like, they were so separate. It was very Final Fantasy at the time where like each game was a reinvention and we're like, oh, what's this one? Oh, it's a water one. It's this. Oh, wow. Twilight Princess. It looks a little realistic. That's going to be dark. Like they would design a map from the ground up. They would design a new story, design a new plot. Like the best thing about this game is all of that time they would have spent doing all of that, they've spent putting into the quality of the gameplay because
totally.
They've just gone, okay, it's not the same map, which is like a very stupid complaint to make because like it is set after a cataclysmic disaster. So the, you know, the environment is completely different. Things aren't where they used to be. Environmental, literal weather and environments are different in areas where it was a certain thing before. Much like the real world, things, history occurs, like passage of time occurs. So things are different, but it's such a smart move for them to keep the same art style. Even down to the point, I love that they keep some of the same costumes from the first game. Because why would they have like a different...
Yes, totally,
like,
yeah.
They're just... It's fine. And like everything's there. And it means that all the time they didn't spend going, oh, I think Link should wear this color this time. It's just like they've spent going, cool, here's how to build a robot. Or here's how to do this. Or let's build the depths. Or let's build sky castles.
Or like, let's like make the story actually interesting this time.
Well, yeah, it's like...
And also make the side quests really fun and...
They like, just... It's every little improvement. Is it like every time they didn't spend redesigning, you know, the wheel, which they do with usually most Zelda games, they're like, let's find a gimmick and then let's build a game around that. It's just they've sidestepped that completely and have put everything into quality of life improvement.
And with the main missions, they went back and they were like, hey, remember how like... Wind Waker had some actually fun companion like missions. Let's bring those back.
They're exactly there with like the Rito girl that flew.
But they're not
around.
Annoying. You're not fucking. You
well,
don't
you
have
can,
to worry about
you
them.
You can whip them out whenever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
And they help you. They actually like shoot people.
Yeah, and then you can just leave them and then come back and they're like, hey, you came back.
Yeah, it's
let's
great.
Go back on our mission. Yeah.
No,
holy
it just
shit.
It just feels like again we'll be talking about this for at least 6 months.
So which area did you go to first?
So, I mean, I was in obviously this version of the Great Plateau, which is the Sky.
Yeah.
What do they call it?
I can't remember what that's called. The first Sky Island.
Yeah. So I spent like a day there, essentially. I was just running around, doing everything, wanting to play with everything, reading everything. Like,
yeah.
And now I'm at that point where I'm like, yeah, I don't need to read. Like, I'm just running around having fun.
Yeah.
So I probably spent like my first day there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I took that day off work and I just played from like 8 a.m. to midnight, maybe.
Rules.
Oh, dude, it was the best. Yeah, it was the best. I just played. I was like,
so you didn't leave that first area until the next day?
Me? No, in that evening, I started doing like stuff. I you know, I landed and then started doing the whatever that lookout landing or whatever it's called,
yeah,
all that stuff and kind of running around and seeing a battle Talon and being like, what the fuck? How do I fight that? And then...
Is it the one where it's the Talus that has the Bokoblins on top of it? Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Have you figured out how to get to it? The top?
Oh, I fought one from above.
Oh.
So, yeah, I was fine.
Because you can't, like, climb up them because...
So you ascend?
Yeah.
Sweet.
You got to, like, knock it down and then, like, go to where its dick area is.
Taint.
Nice. And then ascend. But, yeah, it's just... I'm just having so much fun. And then I went to... I did what it told me to do. In the main quest, I went to one of the points of interest.
Did you go to Ruto Village first?
Yeah, I've done that temple there.
So I did it up until the point where I couldn't just rely on eating meals that warmed me up. I needed warm clothes.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, cool, I'll just go do all this stuff first. And so, yeah, I just literally on the way here, I did the last tower. I've done about 40 shrines.
I think I've done about late 30s, early 40 shrines.
Yeah, sweet. And then I've done a few, like I haven't been to Tarrytown yet.
Neither have I.
Really excited to go there. I've been to, I can never pronounce it, Kakariko Village.
Oh, Kakariko Village. Yeah, that, yeah.
And I've done a bunch
Ring
of
quest.
A bunch of rare missions there.
Ring quest, the old couple fighting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The dude sleeping.
And then I went to the Great Plateau.
Yeah, I ran around there for again, a few minutes. Yeah.
Apparently the depths there are sick.
Oh, nice. So I haven't spent as much time in the depths. I've done like the two first missions from there to unlock those new features.
But I was like seriously under leveled. I mean, I still am. I haven't got any armor yet. But I was just in the depths then. And I found
it's about like, I remember now, it's about like getting your armor like skilled up by the Great Fairy.
I don't know where any of those bitches
I found
are.
They're all near stables, but this one's asking for, it won't open. It's like, I don't want to say too much in case people aren't up to it, but it's I want this. And so, yeah, I forget if you pay them. I forget, but they bless your clothes and like level it up.
They kiss you.
Yeah, they're so big. Big kisses. That giantess shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wild.
Have you become a reporter?
Yes, I am. Work. I am part of the failing Fox News, the failing New York Times. That Pelican Dilf is so good.
He rules so much. Yeah, he sounds like Peter Griffin.
Hey, look, hey, Link. Yeah, he's blast. I'm a reporter. I'm already like, this is a fun side quest.
Yeah, and it's like just goes. There's so much to do in it.
I just love that they spent like 6 years making this game and were just like kept the things the same so they could make it.
And I reckon so much of that time was spent testing everything.
Totally,
because like, nothing, everything works. It's crazy.
It's insane. Like everything in the game has a physics track, and you can like send it back in time. Like, it's insane.
And I love every time you discover a new Zoni device, like, and you're like, cool, I'm gonna fuse that to my shield and see what happens.
Yeah,
have you fused a rocket to
a
shield?
Yeah, I was using it to fight a, what are those like cube dudes?
Oh yeah, they have a really cool name. I can't remember what they are though.
Yeah, I used it to fight one of those so I could get above it and then like rain arrows on its cube.
Yeah, if you
like a flux thing, I think it's called a flux.
Yeah, something like that. If you connect a rocket to your shield, you can use like a, basically like you are Iron Man. Imagine if Link had a Jarvis.
He used to. It was Na'vi.
Yeah.
Na'vi.
Flux Construct.
Flux Construct, yeah.
There's a bunch of them too. I found also the inventiveness of some of the shrines are so cool. Like some of them.
I find the shrines overall are better in this.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I, that said, we've only done like a third of the total of the last game.
It's 150 equivalent. In this.
Apparently 150, yeah. I mean, yeah. Has anyone truly finished this game yet? Has anyone like...
I don't know. Haven't people played it on PC for a month or something?
The Korok stuff is really fun.
Yeah, they're like getting those little cunts shot over to their friends.
I've connected so many of them to a rocket and be like, maybe it'll work this time, and then it just never does.
Yeah, I made like a full... I had these like huge off-road wheels that go a certain way once you hit them, and I tried making a very rudimentary car out of it, but it didn't really work. I finally got the steering thing.
Yeah, the control device, so good.
That's real fun.
If you explore the Sky Islands, you'll actually find like really high-powered vehicles that have been already made in the game, and then you can just fly around the skies in them until
actually just before you came.
So fun. And then you like. Then they start to fall apart, and you just jump off and glide
that's
away.
So good. Yeah, the only thing I've got to wrap my head around is like the weird in-game currencies with like the zonite pieces and then turning that to zonite batteries. Like,
yeah,
it's quite complicated compared
but
to
that. I feel like, you know,
I think it'll become second nature.
Exactly. Yeah. A week from now, we'll be fine about, yeah, you know, I'm just, we like, get this wait, from here.
Because there are all these like made up words and they're like, no, no, you need the zonite spark to do the zonite this. And then, no, no, I'm the refinery. You don't get it from there. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? It all looks the same. It's just like little black stuff.
But the feeling of feeling lost is such an important part of these games to me.
Like, yeah, it's such a part where you're like, what? And then it means it's second nature to you.
Yeah, and I feel like the focus of what this game was, like, everyone was like, we don't know what the game's about. We don't know what the story is. We don't know, like...
You don't need to. No one knew who the story was in Breath of the Wild.
But I don't think anyone was expecting them to add so many insane new ways to play the game, because I feel like the rest of the games industry still isn't caught up to Breath of the Wild.
Well, I think they're people still thought that, like, they were thinking of that old ass Zelda mindset where they're like, what's going to be the hook this time? What's going to be the, like, shake up to the map? What's going to be, where is it going to be set? When is it going to be set? No one actually considered that it was an actual direct sequel. The last time they did that was Majora's Mask, and that was under completely different circumstances. That was essentially Nintendo saying if they could make a game within a year. Wasn't that
I think so.
Like, they released it a year after the Ocarina of Time.
Maybe 2 years, I think, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, could we develop a game in 1 year using assets?
But yeah, if this is like old style Zelda game.
It's so restricted in the sense it has that like night day. So like it's not restricted. Like that's one of the things people love about it, but they created things to stop, but like, you know, to help their owner keeping the game like physically small in terms of map size or areas, etc.
And like all of the new abilities that you have, if this is like an old style Zelda game, only one of them would be the main hook of the game.
Yeah, this would be three games.
And it would be linked to like an animal, like, oh, I'm the fuse fox and I live in your hat.
Yeah.
And like,
or it'd be like, yeah,
you,
I'm the, like,
you have to find my parents.
Yeah.
That's the point of this game.
Dude or something.
Yeah.
And I'm really you but from the past, and
my name is the Master Hand.
Yeah, but no, this, they're just like, cool, here's everything. You got them basically from the first couple hours and go crazy. Have you filled up all your slots?
No.
I got them all.
You got them all? Okay.
So yeah, I think you've got the main ones. Like the only one, like the other
I got camera.
Yeah, there's one more.
There's one more. Okay, interesting.
It's good and saves a lot of time.
Oh, is it the thing where you can like essentially leave a save point?
No.
No, okay, no. Right.
That, I think you get an update with the Robbie...
Something soon.
The Pura. So funny how like Pura is like just been turned into mummy from the internet.
Yeah.
She was like a kid, I think, in the last one. This tiny like small person.
Wasn't she like 100?
Yeah, but they made her like look like a kid.
Yeah, right.
And now they're just like, yeah, now she's huge with tits. It's so funny. It's just Nintendo getting horny.
I keep finding diary pages and she's like, oh, it's so good to have my 20-year-old body again.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
What was she cooking?
I love how they just straight up have cameras and iPad, Switch, like stuff in this. Like, it's like, yeah, maybe it's set in the past. We don't really know anymore.
Who cares?
Just,
yeah, I love it. All the weird tech. Yeah.
I love it. It's sick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a robot. A robot had it. It's a robot tech.
It's
so
funny that to think 2 years ago they like released Skyward Sword apologizing for this game not being finished. But also it's like how the Switch was what the Wii U thought it was going to be. It's like, this is the game that they probably thought they were making when they made Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
But were like literally limited by hardware.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, because, you know, there are those moments where you die from the sky and you're like, oh yeah, Skyward Sword and the Sky Islands. But unlike Skyward Sword, you can land and then, you know, you don't have to like, it is like constant gameplay. It's not taking to a loading screen or not.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, are you sure you want to go back to the land right now, Link?
Yeah. It's none of that. Wild.
And you don't need an amiibo to allow you to go back up to the sky from anywhere on the ground.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Was that with the Switch remake?
Yeah.
So what did you need?
Oh, it was just like one thing to like you could to basically go to and from the sky.
You have to go to like
at any point
a bird statue.
Yeah, normally
it's insane.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
That game is so maligned, isn't it?
I didn't like it.
Yeah. I remember when it came out just being like, oh, so this is like what a not great Zelda game is like. Like, hadn't felt that for
the music's sick.
Yeah, the music's sick, but
whereas
the dancing is dog shit or that like weird.
Oh, my God. Why?
Yeah.
Because like, you could waggle your Joy-Con and be like, I'm dousing.
Yeah.
I love the like limited motion controls in Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, the like, only ones the ones gyro you actually is use so good, is the like, aiming. Yeah, like.
But especially with like the Master Hand shit is so
Oh yeah.
It's so good with the yeah.
Yeah. It is lovely on the OLED, but I do think this is a game that needs to be played on the biggest screen possible.
I'm doing both, baby. It's
fine. I'm doing both.
Yeah.
But I just love playing it on TV with the pro controller.
Yeah, same.
It's like,
same.
It feels real.
The one of my favorite things from Breath of the Wild was the Eventide Island, where you land
on the island.
And you don't have anything.
Castaway.
And then you have to like basically like forage for weapons and food and take on a bunch of enemies. There's a bunch of shrines that are like that, where you have to fight a bunch of Zonai robots.
Yeah, I've had a few like that.
I had one amazing one.
You just kind of, and you kind of have to use your Ultra Hand to like figure out.
Is it Ultra Hand or Master Hand? I can't remember what
Ultra
it's called.
Ultra Hand. Ultra Hand, because
Master Hand is the boss from Super Smash
Bros. That's
Brothers.
Right. And Ultra Hand is the name of a toy Nintendo made in the 70s. It's a reference to that. It's like, it was like a claw thing you use to pick up stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
The there was one where there's like a,
it was first party,
a pyramid of a pyramid of like with like 10 of the Zonai robots on it, and they've all got pretty strong weapons, and except you're in a room with these little tanks, and you can attach weapons to the tanks, and like you just send them out and they seek out enemies.
Oh, you know what, I got those recently. And what they are, it's just like a tracking tank for an enemy, and it knows where enemies are, and you can put stuff on it or create.
So this is one where you have to like basically take out like a bunch of robots with only tanks.
That was the original Ultra Hand. So it's a throwback to that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man. Cool.
Yeah, that sounds sick. It's so fun. Like, it's good. I feel for like any other game that planned on coming out this year that like no one's going to talk about.
Dude, I'm really happy that Hollow Knight Silksong got delayed, because I don't know if my life could handle both of them coming out in the 1 year.
Because they said the game just got too big, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Gives me more time to actually play Hollow Knight as well.
Yeah, for real. Love that game. Mm. Anyway, look, that's enough talking endlessly about something that we unabashedly love.
Yeah.
It's time to get to the main course of tonight, because we'll be returning to Tears of the Kingdom constantly over the next few months. And if you want to talk with other people who are playing it, talking about secrets, talking about things that they discover, if you need any help, we've got a channel in our Discord, which
that's
you can join over at patreon.com/heyfam. $5 a month gets you access to our Discord, the PayFam Discord.
Very cool hints.
And an extra episode every single week, but we'll talk to you more about that later. Fast 10.
Fast 10 is out. We're going to chat about what we thought of the latest film in the Vin Diesel race opera, as I've started calling it, not the space opera, the race opera, because they are driving cars, my friends. But we are also, and I've done this, but maybe I think you will too, where does it fit in the canon of our Fast and Furious rankings? A series that we both came to later.
Me much later than you.
You much later. I came in like midway through.
It was a COVID watch for me.
For you, is a very recent watch. Wow, yeah. That's right.
When I think about lockdown, I'm like, oh, that's why I wasn't depressed.
Because 10 Fast movies, 7 Mission Impossible movies.
2 Now You See Me's.
2 Now You See Me's.
I watched all the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
I heard that Moby song so many fucking times.
Yeah, yeah. Moby made at least $1 from your house of all the times you streamed the Bourne movies. It's out. You saw it today. I saw it early this week at a screening, which I wish you were at, just because they go all out at those fucking Fast previews.
Cars out the wazoo. I was texting you during my screening, just because I've never seen one of these movies alone.
Yeah,
and I didn't like it.
No, I felt for you. It's not how you see them. I mean, the crux of these movies is family, and you
absolutely
should definitely
see
these movies
with either you or my wife, my two wives.
You and I are big fans of the series. We have, you know, and I think what's interesting about the Fast series, it is a series that has some very obvious and like big lows, but also like ginormous highs. And there is this charm with the series that, I don't know, it's a thing that's kind of kept its longevity, its shelf life.
Yeah, like I think
for all intents and purposes, it should not have a shelf life this long. Like, if you watch Fast 1 and time traveled back and told yourself that in 20 years you'll be seeing Fast 10, which stars 4 Academy Award winning actresses, you'd think it was like a marquee gag from like a Simpsons episode that depicts the future. You know how it would be Fast 10, now starring Helen Mirren. And you'd be like, oh, that's a bit like, it's not true. It is true, and it's kind of like the charm of this series has attracted people like that, and has, I think, attracted a certain film fan too. Like, I think that, you know, critics dismissed the early films, but from like 4 or 5, especially 5 onwards,
5 definitely was
they were like, oh, they finally like figured out their formula, and people were all on board, which, and as we've always said, the best thing about Five is it makes the earlier films, it contextualizes them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they're kind of weird scattershot standalone, but then Five is this great retcon that unifies all what came before it to make this, like, you know, that scene where Dom calls everyone up from that we didn't even know he knew to get them to, like, join the crew. You're like, oh, and it makes that kind of 6 hours you've spent watching them worth it.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, you know, it's a weird series with great highs, great lows. And you and I really liked Nine.
I love Nine. It's and
same.
It's,
I mean, Justin Lin, I think, has not made a bad Fast and Furious movie. He's made some of, like, I think he's made, well, what I'll say in my rank, he's made my least favorite Fast and Furious movie, but for reasons that I'll talk about, it's a necessary film.
It's, yeah.
But I think that him, and he's made five of them at this point.
Yeah.
And I think that he is kind of like the Chris McQuarrie with Tom Cruise, like the thing that they've gotten on with Mission Impossible, where they're like, oh, you get what this is about.
Sure.
And they complement one another.
Did he do three, four, five, six, nine. Oh, cool.
Okay. James Wan did seven, which is another series high,
yeah,
I think. But he did 3, 4, 5, 6, 9. And three was like one of his first films.
Yeah. So, like, I know a lot of people didn't like nine because it went way too far, jumped the shark for them.
It did it knowingly to me, though.
Like, me
it
too.
Had the characters being Roman in particular has always been an amazing litmus for the audience who's always like, we shouldn't be doing this. Like, even in six, as you know, I rewatched them over the course of 4 days last week. And even in six, he's like, why the hell are we out here doing this? Like, this is 007 shit. Like, we don't do this stuff. Like,
you need someone
that kind of brings them down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's always like every character has something cool to do in nine. And it also celebrates the history of the franchise really well.
It goes back. It has that kind of slight revisionist history with Dom's story. Like, we've heard throughout all of the movies that Dom, in the early movies particularly, like, he beat a guy with a wrench, you know?
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
kind of like the whole reason why he is a bad boy. And we don't know about it. We hear people talking about it, but, you know, it's kind of hard to picture modern day Dominic Toretto as that monster. So seeing it kind of differently with those, I really like that, those young scenes where it's him and his dad and his brother, which for a guy that, you know, speaks about family so much, I still find it so funny in nine that we only learn he has a brother then.
Yeah, to the point where I didn't know what Brie Larson's character was going to be. I just assumed she'd be another Toretto.
At this point, it's safe to assume any new cast member is missing Toretto.
I mean, that would be much preferred than what we got.
Yeah.
With her character.
Yeah. So I went in and I was excited for 10. The trailers looked really funny. Jason Momoa, someone that you and I have thought like is an absolute no-brainer for this franchise.
Yeah, totally.
I think we willed it into existence. Like, he's always been the best thing about anything he's in, Zack Snyder projects or otherwise. He just has like a real, like, that larger than life bizarreness.
Yep.
Yeah. He's kind of like the anti Chris Pratt to me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like, he gets a bit goofy. You know, I couldn't see Chris Pratt painting his nails and wearing effeminate clothing in any
That's
of his
so
movies.
That's so true. Yeah, yeah.
You know, where I see like...
and he's very proud of his culture, but like in a natural way.
Yeah.
Whereas Chris Pratt feels very soft.
Yeah, like, it just feels like Momoa culture, is, you know, just like...
His Christian culture.
It's like big himbo false. Energy.
Yeah, totally.
Which I kind of love.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's like, his fits are crazy. Like, he was wearing in this movie what he wore when you and I saw Aquaman and he walked in and introduced it. Remember he had like pigtails,
yeah,
just like
exactly,
outrageous
yeah.
clothing. And you're kind of like, oh, this guy's super flamboyant.
Yeah. And in a way that I feel like if he was allowed to bring that energy to Aquaman, like, he'd be great alongside Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Aquaman's so stern and serious. We're getting a second one of them soon, aren't we? I won't see it.
I mean, if it's free, I will.
We both got invited to Shazam too, buddy. We didn't go to that.
No, that's so true. I don't know. There's something about Momoa that I find really... And actually, you know, James Wan, director of Fast 7.
I think of Aquaman and all, my immediate visual is...
You and I getting shush?
No, yeah. And you on your phone for half of that movie, which I rarely see.
No, I am the biggest stickler for rules in a cinema. And
yeah.
That movie just lost me.
The other day I was remembering that we saw Cats.
That was despicable. What? Oh, did Pitbull do an Africa remix?
No. Yes.
Yeah, that's... I knew there was
oh
an amazing...
Oh, my God, in Aquaman. Not in Cats, in Aquaman.
No,
in
I knew there was an amazing song. And we're just like, what?
Yeah. It's like... It's Mr. Worldwide.
And they're not even in Africa, I think, in that scene.
No, they're not in Africa.
They're in, like...
The desert.
Like, Portugal or something. Oh no, that's this movie they went to put. Yeah. That was amazing. They're just like, we got to get to the Portuguese safe house. I'm like, what are they talking about? When has Dom set up a Portuguese safe house?
But like, yeah. So for me, like,
So I went after trailers, and I'm sure you did too. We were pretty hyped. We were like, this looks.
Like, even I thought, even when a Fast movie is bad, it's still fucking great.
Especially modern Fast.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
They're very self-aware. Yeah. Where they're like, yeah, here's four big set pieces, melodramatic conversations where actors don't look at each other. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just jump the shark. It rides the shark through three buildings in
Yeah, it straps Abu the Dhabi, shark to a rocket, goes to space in it. Yeah. And then you find out, retcons the death of the shark and it was actually alive the whole time. Like a hunt, you know? Yeah. And that's what we love about it. Like they kind of knew how silly they were, but still looked good. They still had a pulse.
Yeah, totally. And for all of the like stupid family talk,
it's endearing.
Exactly, and it has heart. The movies also, have
like,
heart.
It's true. Like this is, you know, we laugh at it, and everyone makes those memes about Dom Toretto saying family at the end of Endgame. You know, like but like these movies do champion diversity. They champion a crazy range of age as well. Like it's not young people. It's young people, middle-aged people and older people. It's kind of like, it's true. Like it is a family as corny as it is. And like, there's something so like earnest about Vin Diesel that like, if it wasn't him, if he wasn't that earnest, the movies would completely cease to function. But the fact that like from 4 onwards, he is basically, Fast is kind of like his only output. He's acting that's like makes money, you know, like he doesn't do shit like The Pacifier anymore, or he doesn't do you know, the Riddick films, XXX. Like he's a voice in Guardians of the Galaxy, but like he this is it for him. This is what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
he's
the
Toretto.
Line between Dominic Toretto and Vin Diesel doesn't exist. Like it is one and the same person.
And like he's so proud of these movies when he talks about them to press. Like
He lies constantly. He said recently that it's the longest going series with the same set of actors, and it's completely not true.
He revealed on the red carpet the other day, this is actually the first of a trilogy.
Which I don't even think Universal knew.
Yeah.
Like he's just kind of in his own world. But another thing with Vin, and you know, this is with all great artists, I find they're quite moody. They're quite, you know, like we see him post it like subtweeting The Rock and stuff.
And
weird posts saying like Paul Walker's ghost wants you to star in this movie and just really weird stuff like that. And I forgot about that because I remember we were kind of like off The Rock with the Black Adam stuff recently, but I'm like, oh, he learned all of that from Vin. Like, he literally learned like taking studios hostage
but
and acting.
You and me were firmly team Vin throughout all that. Like even though Vin was so in the wrong, we were just like, no. Like
Vin was in the wrong in so many ways, except that he thought he was right. And that's what made Vin in the right. Like he didn't, if The Rock was doing that, he would be doing it maliciously.
Yeah. And also like Vin knows that Hobbs is The Rock's best character.
Yeah.
So like, why would you not play that character in all these things?
And he's so good in it too. Like, I do think it is like
the best introduction to a character ever.
I'd say the fuck out of my way.
Why do they stop saying fuck in these movies?
Because I guess kids are in them now.
Yeah.
Which is something we'll talk about.
So yeah, I guess like this has been a long troubled production. Justin Lin left like 10 days into shooting.
Because I mean, in my mind, Lin makes what is like a pretty great trilogy in that. One is Fast 4, which I think isn't a great Fast film, but it's got like one foot in the past, street racing, stuff like that, but also a foot in kind of, okay, this is where we're heading. Like they start dealing with heists and like, you know, kind of being rebels without a cause. They're taking down a drug dealer. Like that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And 5, they're like Robin Hooding, essentially stealing money from like a organized crime leader in Rio. And then 6, they're asked by the very man who's chasing them in 5 to like, he essentially recruits them to bring down a terrorist.
Mm.
And I see that there's like, and I know this sounds so dumb speaking of it, like almost so like matter of factly, but there is a line that almost makes that a great trilogy. Like the escalation works.
Yeah, for sure.
And after 9, I was like, and, you know, it was going to end with 11 back in the day. And it was like, Lin was doing another trilogy. He was rounding out the Fast.
Yes.
And I was like, great, because he does have that like natural thorough line of, there needs to be certain escalation or something that connects these so they're not just carbon copies of the films that come before it.
And like, he has a good understanding of each character and what makes them, like,
he gives them time to shine.
Fun on the team. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, that's the whole reason why Five works, because he's put all of these characters who've never shared a screen together, a lot of them, he puts them all together in a room and immediately the pecking order you get like, who's the clown, who's the brooding guy, who's cool,
yep.
Who's, you know, like, it's just that the cast of Five is just amazing. Like,
yep.
every it's Smash Brothers, literally everybody is here.
So the movie's out now.
I was dying for you to see it. I was honest with you when I saw it. I just need to talk to another fast, because I would consider you a fast head.
Yeah,
you
know, absolutely. I fucking love these.
Yeah,
these,
and I was just like, dude, I think it's the worst one. Was the original thing I told you.
Yeah, like, it might be the worst one. I was like, yeah. Whoa. That's...
And that was something I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Like, this is in a... Yeah, like, I think 8's another big low point for me.
Yeah, for me, the lowest points of this franchise is when, one, they split the team up. I hate it when they split the team up.
Well, the whole beauty of this is...
The family.
Yeah, and they're not... clever in a Rian Johnson Last Jedi subversive way where they're like, oh, if we split up the family, it's gonna, you know, it's about subverting the norm.
Yeah,
like, the Fast movies don't do that.
They split in eight. Dom's like not a part of the family. That sucks.
Dom is a bad guy. We're supposed to
believe. In 9 they kind of just split them into teams,
yeah,
for like the middle third of the movie, and it works.
And it works because they're people you don't see hanging out. You've got Letty and Mia go to Japan with Han.
Yep.
That's really fun. And then you just get Tej, Ramsey, and...
No, what's Ramsey doing when they go to space?
She's with Dom.
Okay, right.
But you get them going to Edinburgh to investigate yep. some shit.
Yeah.
But no, it's split up very minimally and then they're back together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's... and then the other thing I hate that they do is when the series gets too dark, because whenever there's a villain, you know, given the history of the franchise,
he joins the crew.
Exactly. So you're like, oh, cool. I can't wait for this villain to become
essentially
family.
That's been in the first ever film, because Vin Diesel is technically the villain of that film. And then he is the crew.
Yeah.
Brian is the villain from his point of view and he joins the crew and then everyone gets recruited. I mean, it really came through with, I guess The Rock is like the best example of it.
But and Statham as well. Like,
but no, yeah. The Rock happens like, I mean, like the first instance of it.
Yes.
And then it becomes a staple.
Yeah.
Because The Rock, he joins it halfway through 5. He's yes. chasing them, then decides to team up. But even then, like, Giselle was kind of working for Ray's Braga in 4.
Of course. Joins
the crew. But then we later find out she's like, works for Mr. Nobody. Which I do love now that it is like, oh yeah, Han actually worked for Mr. Nobody the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
The lowest parts of the whole franchise for me, the absolute lowest is Charlize Theron's character,
Cypher
shooting Dom's like, wife, baby
off
mama.
Camera. Yeah.
No, on camera.
No, but I mean, like, they don't, you hear it.
Yeah, you see Dom's face as he watches.
But then
it
I'm just like, it's Fast and Furious.
It's so dark. It's yeah. so mean.
But I'm just like, it's Fast and Furious. Like, she's not dead.
You reckon?
No. It's off camera.
You reckon we're going to get a reveal that she didn't die? Okay, all right.
Of course.
That would be
the
crazy.
The person who can never come back is Paul Walker. And he is alive as far as the series
yeah,
is concerned.
Yeah, that's true.
He just doesn't fuck with Dom anymore. He's always doing his own thing.
But I guess, like, is that enough? Is that character actually being alive enough to redeem Cypher? Because, like...
Will it be like,
when they go
faked you out because we knew you would do this?
Yeah. What I hate about this is that, like, immediately it's like Jason Momoa, like, kills so many people. And it's like, well, he can't be on the team.
I mean, is that what they're doing, maybe?
Not going to be family.
I don't think he's going to be family.
Yeah. So we're going to get into...
We're going to talk about the film and then do our rankings.
We're going to rank every Fast movie and talk in depth, spoilerific.
Yeah.
Look, if this is not a franchise you're a fan of...
Jump in.
I reckon you're still going to love listening to us talk about the movies.
I think it was like, listening to How did this get made? Remember that podcast?
Yeah, they remember they did Fast Five. Yeah,
they did it, but it wasn't from. Normally, they covered movies negatively. They'd be like, "Oh, how did like Troll 2 get made?" or The Room.
Yeah,
they did like, "How did this get made?" like Fast Five because of how good it was.
Yeah, totally.
And they were just like, "This is the great." And it was via osmosis that I was like, "Oh, I couldn't see this," and that's when I was like on board.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, maybe this is a franchise that's gotten too big for itself. I still, in my head the whole time I was going, I was like, here's what I would do if I was making a Fast movie. Here's what I would make the main threat or plot or like villain be. Because there's so many cool ways you could explore the concept of family. I feel like even like revisiting plot threads from 8, like, you know, one member of the family going rogue. What's their reason? Like, I hate that it's this fucking like agency bullshit.
Like, it feels like G.I. Joe, like those live action G.I. Joe movies are like the Michael Bay Transformers, this film.
Yeah.
Film felt so different in its DNA from anything that came before it. And
it's an ugly fucking movie, dude, too.
That was one of the only things I could keep telling you that wasn't a spoiler, but I was just like, it's one of the ugliest movies I've seen.
CGI is at a like absolute low point for the series, too.
Do you know this movie was made uglier by the fact that I watched the Fast movies up until like from 8, they start like 8's pretty ugly, 9 looks pretty great, but 5 in particular is gorgeous. And the fact that this movie retreads so much of 5, but knowingly on a soundstage in this versus like on location in the original Rio scenes, where it looks gorgeous, it's big, it's alive, the favelas look amazing.
Yeah,
in this, it's just like Warner Brothers Movie World backlot. And you're like, this isn't a favela. I can't even see the sky.
Where was this movie made?
I don't know. Vin Diesel's house, I think.
No, there's no way he was on a set with half the people he's appearing with.
I think Vin Diesel was only on set with Little Brian.
Yeah.
I don't think he shared a scene with anybody else.
Man, just like going, like the difference in like looking at this, because another thing that worked against this movie is that Mission Impossible
trailer
dropped this morning, and I was like, fuck!
That trailer is
and
hype.
Last week we were talking about that photo of Vin and Luda and Tom Cruise
together.
And I was
like, maybe Tom will be in this.
I was like, how cool would it be if Tom Cruise showed up? I'm like, no, don't do it, Tom.
Tom knows.
You stay away from this fucking Tom franchise. Knows. It's done.
Yeah. Though, this franchise is like a fucking cockroach, and I mean that respectfully.
Yeah.
It should have died after Fast 2.
Yeah, for sure.
But
like,
this is why I have faith about what can come next. This is a series that has proven time and time again that it can like reinvent itself. But I just think the Vin's the kind of thing at the moment stopping it from, I don't know, for some reason I feel like he's integral to the failure to this film.
His ego, Vin's ego is just like,
it pains me so much to say that this is such a shit movie.
Look, anyway, look, come listen to another hour of us talking about in depth about the new Fast movie.
This and is like the a therapy session whole. For you and I.
Like, dude, I had to stop myself from just texting you the entire way through the movie about my thoughts.
But then I had that thing where I was like, am I the bad guy? Like, is this a good movie?
Am I Jason Momoa?
Yeah, I was like, is this a good, am I, why did I, but I was just like, it was like that. When I saw Rise of Skywalker or something, I'm just like, this feels off. Like from the opening, you're just like, something's not right.
Yeah, I knew something was off like so early on.
It's so symbolic because the opening is, and this is such a telling sign. It shows this film, rather than carve out its own like iconography or, you know, iconic scene or cool sequence, it's a replay of the 5th movie, which is the best movie in the series, many people believe. And you're already going, oh, okay, so you're resting. You're not even bothering to make greatness. You're resting on the laurels of something that's great. Like, that's a metaphor for what this movie will be like, I believe.
Yeah, cool.
And it was a slog, that intro. I was just like, fuck, I know this. I've watched this so many times.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Hurry up.
I guess they needed to hit the beats of the 5th movie just so you do remember like where he fits into the...
Yeah, but yeah. It's just like, it doesn't do itself any favors.
This movie committed something that I never thought would be possible. They gave me a barbecue scene I didn't like.
Which one?
At the start of the movie, the barbecue is fucking awful.
But
Who the fuck's that old woman?
That's his grandma.
How the fuck is she like...
She's 40. Got an Oscar.
Who is she?
She's Rita Moreno. She was in the original West Side Story.
Right.
She has Best Supporting Actress Oscar. Here's the thing. She's 90 years old.
Wow. She looks great for 90.
She looks amazing. But it just... What the biggest mystery to me is this, is I want a 23andMe Vin Diesel so bad because they're calling her Abuelita. They have a Latina grandmother. John Cena's his brother, and he has a like, for all intents and purposes, a straight up black son in this,
yeah,
which was white in the last film. In the
he's
film
just inexplicably
before.
Black in this.
And I'm just like, yeah. I am so curious as to what Vin Diesel believes Dominic Toretto is. Yeah. Because John Cena does not come from the same
lineage. Yeah.
Neither does Jordana Brewster. Like, no one in that family has got the same mom or dad, you know? And that's fine. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're like step or half siblings. But for all we know,
yeah,
they've never declared that.
Yeah, totally.
But they're speaking in perfect fluent Spanish to Abuelita. And I'm like, what? They're Spanish? Sorry, they're Latin now? I thought that he was Italian. It's His name's Toretto.
It's the new they fly now. They're Spanish now?
It's insane. Yeah. But also in that barbecue, indicative of the film itself, it didn't look like anyone was on that shot set together.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah. It's probably shot poorly. They probably were.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's hit it.
Come listen to the rest of this incredible conversation over at patreon.com/heyfam. $5 a month is all it costs to get a bonus episode of Hey Fam every single week. And some say it's the better episode each week.
Big guy now.
You can also join our Discord community and talk about this movie and many other movies, video games,
and Zelda,
TV shows, and more in our Discord. It's very cool. If this episode made you laugh, nice.
Nice.
Patreon.com/heyfam. See you there.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.